The word today is riddle. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible Teacher Doug Schrader. The Bible has several different types of writing, including laments, history, and praise songs to God. Our Bible teacher especially loves the Psalms and Proverbs, as they contain clever sayings and profound truths. Sometimes these are portrayed as an ironic truth. Here with more is Bible scholar Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Riddle.
Jesus one time said, "What can a man give in exchange for his life?" It's a good question. In fact, the answer is fairly straightforward, but the implications to the answer are very profound. The answer is that there is simply nothing that a person can give in order to ensure that their life is extended. As many people have said, when God determines that your time has come, and there is no amount of money, power, prestige that can be offered in order to save yourself from death. We have kind of a riddle, a proverb in Psalm chapter 49, where it says, "Hear this, all you peoples. Listen, all you who live in this world, both low and high alike, rich and poor. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart will give understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches? No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No amount of payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay." This is an interesting thought, discussing the fact that life is extremely precious, and yet at the same time, no matter how much we put effort or money into it, we can't keep someone else from tasting death. These are profound truths that all of us must admit are true. In fact, when it comes to death, there is no favoritism. As it said in the psalm here, we've all seen that death is equal opportunity, so to speak, that it strikes the rich and the poor, the powerful and the weak, the young and the old. In one sense, it shouldn't really surprise us if we see an infant dying or a person succumbing to disease when they're very young, because death is always about us. We carry in our bodies death because of our sin. And so, as death touches everyone's lives, we need to admit that it's because of our sin. In the book of Romans, we are taught in chapter 5 of the book of Romans in the New Testament that the cause of death is our sinfulness. And that's why everyone ends up dying, is because we are corrupted. We are perverted and distorted because of our sin. There is ultimately no pure healthiness within us because we carry this disease of the spirit and the mind. It even influences our bodies to the point of causing us to break down and die. We also have in us a conscience. Romans also discusses this, that we all know that we have violated God's will. Everyone, if they're honest with themselves, knows that we've had lustful, greedy, selfish, egotistical moments, and they have caused us in our thinking to do vile things, ungodly things. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, says the Scriptures, but are justified freely through Jesus Christ. So in Psalms, it's not really what you think it is. At first, you might think that this passage from the Psalms is a lament, a kind of sad statement. Oh, isn't it a shame that death touches us all, that even the most powerful can't escape its grasp? That's actually not what Psalm 49 is about. It's not a lament, but instead it is a taunt song. Yes, it's actually saying that those who want to try to trust in their riches or in their strength or social standing or in their intellect eventually will die just like everybody else. And what will they have to show for it? Nothing. They won't end up redeemed. They won't end up being given life by God because they've opposed the God of life, because they put their trust in themselves, in their own strength, which eventually fails. Psalm 49 then urges us, as it says, "Do not be overawed when a man grows rich, when the splendor of his house increases, for he'll take nothing with him when he dies. His splendor will not descend with him. Though while he lived, he counted himself blessed, and men will praise you when you prosper, he will join the generation of his fathers who will never see the light of life." In fact, Psalm 49 concludes, "A man who has riches without understanding is like the beasts that perish." We're to feel pity for someone that puts their faith and hope in their wealth or in their social standing. If they think that's what life is all about, they're sorely mistaken. Instead, we are to put our confidence in our hope in the Lord. I remember Paul writing to Timothy and saying, "Command those who are rich in this world not to put their hope in riches, which can disappear so quickly." In fact, in Psalm 49, it continues, "But God will redeem my life from the grave. He will surely take me to himself." What a great hope and confidence. That's where our real joy and our real vision for the future should lie. Not in the material things we have here, not in any power or wealth here, but in the God who saves us from death. In fact, we see this same kind of mocking, this taunting of God's enemies throughout the scriptures. There will always be those that will oppose God, that will oppose Jesus Christ, and in the end, they will get nothing but death and destruction. How sad, how horrible. The scriptures call us to turn from that attitude and live. In Revelation chapter 18, the word of God, a vision to John, who says about Babylon, the great enemy of God's people. He says, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great." He also says, "Give back to her as she was given. Pay her back double for what she has done." And then he urges for God's people to come out of her so that you don't share in her sins, so that you don't receive any of her plagues. The Christian, the person who comes to Jesus Christ, really needs to understand that there is no way to escape death. There is no way to save yourself in your own strength. It's got to be from complete reliance upon the God who saves you. You know, we can't escape from the inevitable. We're going to die, but we have a God who can save us, a God who can redeem our life from the grave. So in the end, it is not a lament that we have. We don't look around. A person who believes in Jesus, who has come to him, doesn't look and say, "Oh, how horrible, how pathetic it is. Everyone is growing older. Everyone is dying." Yes, we acknowledge these are realities. And there are catastrophic circumstances that happen. People caught in landslides or people killed in car accidents. Yes, these things are horrible. And death is always around us. But that doesn't snuff our joy. That doesn't kill our hope, because we know the God who redeems our life from the grave. Because we're not putting our confidence in our own strength or our own wit and intelligence. Instead, we're putting our hope in the Lord God. You know, it's interesting because Psalm 49 says, "No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. No sinful human can do so. I certainly cannot pay the price for your sins. You can't do the same for someone else. But there was one divine man who did. The only one who was the exception to that rule is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the one who could pay the ransom for another person's life. He could lay down his life so that you could be forgiven, so that you could come to God and not be judged by him and condemned, but instead be forgiven and received as a child of his. What a dramatic thing. What a fantastic thing. That's why this is called good news. This is why it's called the gospel, so that you will receive this wonderful message and that you will have the confidence that you can have life beyond the grave. Doesn't it make you want to give up putting your hope and confidence in your own puny mind or in your own temporary strength and power? These are all going to fade. What's the advantage of trying to find your hope and salvation in yourself? In the end, it'll fail. So instead, you're called to turn to God and to humble yourself. Oh, we don't want people to suffer and die. But they're fools if they put themselves in charge of themselves and say, "I'm going to save myself." That's nonsense. Only God can save your life from the grave. Only Jesus Christ offers you life eternal. No one else can do this. That's why you're called to humble yourself, not put your confidence in your wealth and your power, but instead humble yourself and come to Jesus Christ. He wants to offer you the forgiveness of God and the certainty of life everlasting in his name.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We always appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We would really enjoy hearing from you, so why don't you take a moment and write us a note today? And when you write, be sure to request the booklet by Pastor Paul Schrader entitled Freedom, which talks about the freedom we have in Christ. Not the freedom to sin, but the freedom not to sin through the power of God. Ask for your free copy when you write to us at The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Please remember that your financial gift helps this program to stay on the air. Also, your free will offerings help us add new stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. You may be interested to know that we also broadcast in 46 foreign languages. Please pray that God will help us continue to expand. Once again, our address is The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. That's The Word Today, Box 77, Greendale, Wisconsin, 53129. Every week at this time, we bring you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your life. We hope you'll join us again next week for The Word Today.